Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen Coop.
Hello and welcome to episode number 2 of the Building a Better World podcast. My name is Sean Clausen Coop, and I'm excited to have you tuning in today. Wherever you are, thanks for tuning in to this conversation about our most critical environmental problems. Before we get into today's topic, I want to thank everyone who's left a review for the book, whether that's on Amazon or Audible or Goodreads. I appreciate you taking the time to do that. It really helps spread the message that we're trying to share in this book when other people can come and see what people who aren't Paul and Sean think about the book before they buy it. Wanted to read one of them for you today. This one comes from Ashley C. She says, "A book to get your environmental mojo going. I love this book. It's a book to get you thinking, reevaluating, and lastly doing. It's a book about solutions for everyone rather than a book full of nasty things that make you feel bad about being human. The best thing is that this book is just a starting line. It gets you fired up and hungry for more creative, purposeful, and exciting ways to live a life of luxuriant environmentalism." Thanks so much, Ashley. Appreciate you taking the time to write that review. If you're listening to this and you've already read the book, first of all, thanks for listening in. Second of all, if you could take the time to go write a review, that would be most appreciated. It helps us a lot. And now I'd like to go into today's topic. We're going to talk about solutions in this book, but if we're going to talk about solutions, we need to know the problems first. So we have 5 chapters focused on the problems. We tried to keep it as short as we could while still actually talking about the problems. And we understand that there's a lot more problems in the world than the 5 chapters that we decided to put into this. But we believe that if we would solve these particular problems in the ways that we recommend in this book, we would be well on our way to solving all of the other environmental problems as well, and a whole bunch of the non-environmental problems too, though probably not all. So the 5 chapters, the first one we call environmentalist versus environmentalist. And that is that we think that one of the things, maybe the biggest thing that's holding us back, is that there is a lot of, well, money being put into greenwashing from certain companies who don't especially like the idea of making less money. And they are set on the idea of putting some misinformation out there. And they're really good at it. And so this chapter is talking about, okay, how do we tell environmentalist from environmentalist? I was doing air quotes there, which you obviously can't see because this is a podcast. Anyways, we talk about when we're looking at who to listen to, first of all, use objective reasoning and what solutions feel like they're going to do a better job than others. But also let's look at, okay, this person is saying they're an environmentalist. What's their environmental footprint? This other person is saying they're an environmentalist. What are they doing? And use that to help weigh the conversation. Don't want to spend too much time on this one. It's fairly simple. But let's be careful. There's a lot of infighting going on in the world to try and solve this problem. And I think we're best focused on solving it rather than fighting each other. The second chapter is a much bigger one, and it's so minor of an issue that I did not want to write about it. I did not want to waste pages with it. And yet, talking to Paul, we agreed that we have both have had so many conversations where this has come up and been an issue that we feel like we had to mention it, otherwise our book would be incomplete. And that is that we have had so many conversations where we're trying to talk about environmental solutions, which we're going to get into over the next number of episodes, and The other person stops us and says, "Well, I swapped out my light bulbs, so I'm good. I did my part." And this is a big issue for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons is that lighting is such a tiny, tiny part of our environmental footprint. And then on top of that, the advice that is often out there is wrong, in our opinion. For people in a cold climate, we actually believe that good old incandescent light bulbs are going to be overall better for the environment than LEDs, and certainly CFLs. Now, you might be thinking, well, how can you do that? They obviously use more energy, and I agree, they do. But I live in Manitoba. It's really dark in the winter. In the summer, I pretty much don't need to turn the lights on very much at all. But in the winter, I need lights. Well, the energy that comes from a light bulb is heat. And in Manitoba, in the winter, it happens to be really, really cold. Like they named a place on Mars after the city I was born in. So a little extra heat coming out of your light bulb in the winter isn't going to actually cause any more environmental damage because it's just going to make your furnace go on less. Whereas the manufacturing and the disposal and the mining that goes into the LEDs is far, far worse, as well as some of the health concerns that I managed to find quite a bit of information on as I was researching this book, which was a big surprise to me. So we wanted to touch on that because it seems like that's the tripping point for everyone. We don't want to spend any more time on it because everything else is so much more important. Moving on, the big three. We decided to focus on three main footprints in our book, and two of them are related. The first one is carbon footprint, the idea that we're putting a lot of carbon into the atmosphere that is causing problems because it's warming everything up in ways that we have not seen since humans started walking the Earth, and at a rate that is totally unseen in human history. We want to stop that. We want to do stuff about it. I don't want to spend more time on it because you probably know all about it. Petroleum footprint is our next one. That one is so very tied to carbon footprint, and a big part of why the carbon footprint is an issue these days. But we did want to address separately this idea of petroleum and how can we cut our petroleum usage. The third footprint that we talk about is the idea of a toxic footprint. This idea of how can we deal with the fact that our health problems seem to be going up despite the incredible, you know, advances in science and understanding. And, you know, why is it that the baby boomer generation in America is the first generation that is going to be living shorter lives than their parents, despite all of the modern innovations? So we're going to talk all about that throughout the book and sometimes touch on it directly, sometimes indirectly. Going back to a previous point, we think that if we solve each of these points, the rest of them are going to be well on their way to being solved too. So Paul and I both kind of struggle talking about the problems. We just kind of find it depressing and don't really enjoy it. So we decided instead that we would have chapters about the problems, but actually spend most of the chapter starting to talk about solutions for those problems. So going into carbon footprint quickly for you here. One of the big problems that I see out there is that people like to say, well, 85% or 60% or whatever you want to choose as your number of carbon footprint is from industry. And I'm not industry, so I'm off the hook. I'm such a small portion of the problem. But I think that if we're going to be responsible humans here, it only makes sense to say that, wait a second, industry is run by humans, and industry is certainly funded by humans. So I think it is only fair for us to take responsibility for industry as well and talk about how can we reduce our overall footprint. The two big ones that I want to touch on right now for carbon footprint, the first is home energy. So that doesn't involve industry, that's your house. 15% of overall carbon emissions is home energy. And in a cold climate, 2/3 of that is for heating the space. And so we go into some solutions in this book where we talk about how Paul managed to cut 87% off his electric heat bill one winter, and a whole bunch of other ideas for how to cut home energy usage by 90% or more. And the second thing for carbon footprint that I want to talk about is food. Paul and I did a lot of studying and figuring, and we came up with an estimate that if you include all of the indirect emissions, that food would take a grand total of somewhere in the ballpark of 35% of our overall carbon footprint. And so in our view, the solution to this is grow your own food. Grow your own food in a way that doesn't emit any carbon at all. Or grow your food in a way that sequesters carbon, such that you could have an overall footprint of sequestration. Next up, petroleum footprint. And again, I'm just skimming here for you guys. We'll get into some of these topics in a lot more detail in other podcasts, and certainly we go into it in more detail in the book. Petroleum footprint, 70% of the petroleum that we pull out of the ground is used for transportation. Roughly half for individuals and then roughly half for all the businesses and, you know, industries. So if you go out and spend the big monies and buy a nice electric car, which you're certainly welcome to do if you have the money, that cuts your emissions by half, which is like pretty substantial. And yet we did some math and we figured if you grow all of your own food, you might actually save more. And if you start growing food for others in a way that doesn't use petroleum, you can cut off even more. You could get to the point where you're offsetting other people's petroleum footprints, even if you still drive sometimes, which I think is pretty cool. Lastly, going into toxic footprint, a couple quick tips that we brought up here. One was, we will talk later about eliminating 98% of household cleaners, because the problems with household cleaners are scary and immense. Traditional household cleaners, and most of them are entirely unnecessary, and so we go a little bit into that and how we can do that in a way that still allows us to have a clean house. And then sticking with a main point, you'll notice this is in all three categories: stop eating food loaded with toxins. We can grow food in a way that is healthy and nourishing and life-giving and sequesters carbon. And we're going to talk a lot about that. And that's just a big step. There's so much more in all of these categories. But I just wanted to give you this episode as a general overview of the problems that we'll be talking about in the book. And because I hate talking about the problems too much, I did slip in some solutions for you to get your appetite wet, get you thinking. Thanks so much for listening. In our next episode, we're going to talk about what I think is the most effective way to make your voice heard. And yeah. Besides that, thanks again for listening. If you like this, please tell a friend who you think might be interested in this podcast. I think we all have one or two friends who are interested in environmental action and environmental solutions. And so I'd invite you to share this with someone you think might be interested. Besides that, I hope you have a great day. Thanks so much for listening. Take care, and I hope to see you in the next episode. Okay, bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.